Everyone, welcome to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are here live with you as we always are every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And it's always a joy to be here. And with me in the studio is Nathan Burton, our wonderful minister of music. And it's a great day. It's a gorgeous day. It's kind of warm outside, too.
Yeah, it's a little on the warm side.
Yeah, compared to some of our people in the United States who maybe are in cold temperatures, we're very comfortable in Clearwater, Florida today.
Yes.
And we just left a ministry that we do once a month. And tell the people about that. What is that?
It's our nursing home ministry. And it is always, always, always uplifting and
it
fantastic
is.
And fun.
Yes.
The people there, I think they've gotten used to us being there. And, you know, I think they would miss us if we weren't.
You know, it's actually 2.5 years we've been there doing that.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that? That's a long time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. First Sunday of every month, we go to Palm Garden in Clearwater. And the reason that all began was because dear Jeannie, who's a part of our ministry from the beginning, was a resident there for the last couple years of her life. And also my mother was there after she had broken a few things in her body. And so we have a relationship with the people at Palm Garden. And it's a joy to be able to go there once a month. And just minister to those dear folks and have a little short service, 35-minute service. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, what does it do for you, Nathan? You come in, you play the keyboard there after you've been playing at church, and you know, but you do it willingly, like you want to be there.
I want to be there. Want to be there. Because, for one thing, seeing the expressions on their faces, listening to their voices as they sing, as they clap their hands or as they play the instruments whenever Sean brings them.
Right,
You know, and just, it's just... It's like another service for me.
It is.
You know, and
it's
I love being in church.
It is. And we do a lot of the old songs we did today. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. And things
I'll
like
fly
that.
Away.
I'll Fly Away. Some of the old choruses that we all grew up with in Sunday school. And a lot of those people remember those because they grew up singing them.
Yeah, they do. And you could see it in their faces.
Right. Yeah.
You know, even if they don't know all the words, they recognize the songs.
Oh, yeah. And even there's some residents there that are not able to really sing or whatever. They're just able to listen.
But they lighten up as they listen.
They do. They do.
Yes.
And, I noticed today we do that song at the end, Love You With the Love of the Lord.
Yes.
We just love you with the love of the Lord. And, you know, as we go around and hug them and minister to them, there is such a joy. And on their faces, they may not have been able to sing a note or they may have been sick or not feeling good or whatever. But when we're singing that to them and, you know, hugging them or shaking their hand or just, you know, letting them know that we care about them. Don't you just feel that Jesus is smiling, Nathan, at those times? I know
he is.
Yes.
I know he is. And also, you could, in their expression as you go around, too, because, I mean, even if they weren't participating or anything, you know, they were just kind of sitting there, they brighten up. When you reach out to them and you touch them, show them, I love you.
Right.
With the love of the Lord, I love you.
Right.
And there's something about that.
And isn't
this
that
connection.
What the gospel is about?
That's
didn't
about.
Jesus do that when he walked this earth, Nathan?
Yes,
I mean, didn't he make physical contact with people?
Physical contact, yes, he did.
You know, I don't know, you may have not have watched the Bible, but, you know, a lot of us did watch that, you know, in the last few weeks. And again, it reminded me just how Jesus got involved with people's everyday lives. He was out there with the fishermen in the boats. He was sitting on a you know, piece of grass teaching the word. He was in people's weddings. he was just out there in the marketplace. He was involved,
He was involved in people's lives.
Yeah.
He was personally involved in personal contact.
Right.
And that made a difference to people, too, because they feel like, you know, well, he's just like me.
Right. Absolutely.
He's just like me.
And I love the story when he takes the little kids on his lap when the disciples were trying to say, don't bother Jesus because, you know, he's busy here, you know.
And he said, no, forbid him not, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Wow.
Just let them. Go ahead.
That just reminded me of what you were teaching us about today, about confidence.
Yes. We're going to talk about that on the radio today.
One of the characteristics of the children.
Right.
They have confidence. They had confidence to go up right up to Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, and Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He meant that they have the confidence to come up there and know they're going to receive.
Amen.
And know that they would be received.
Right.
And, you know, wow. Think about that.
Well, don't you think a lot of people are unapproachable?
Yes.
You know, and that when God gets a hold of them, and we'll talk more about this in a little while, God gets a hold of them, suddenly their whole demeanor and everything about
softens.
Them changes,
it
and
changes.
It softens,
yes,
doesn't it?
Does.
It? Yes, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the subject of confidence, and we're going to incorporate the book of Matthew 6, probably some Ephesians, some of that, because we started that series. And so grab a Bible somewhere. We have just been in the resurrection season celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, and then now at this time of year, celebrating the fact that he willingly went to the cross for us.
Yes.
And came out of the tomb a risen Lord, Savior of the world. And where would we be, Nathan, right now? We wouldn't even be here in this studio.
Would we have church?
No, we wouldn't have church. We would have nothing to celebrate, right?
Nothing.
And the people that celebrate or that are a part of a religion that is not based on the resurrection of Jesus, what do they celebrate?
What? That's a good question.
You know?
That's a very good question.
I mean, a good person that walked this earth, maybe a prophet that walked this earth, but we serve a risen Lord.
And also, this minister that I was listening to yesterday, Pastor.
Yes.
He talked about what Jesus did as a man.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus came out of the tomb as a man.
Yes.
As a human being.
Yes.
Not as a deity, not as a god. He came forth as a human.
A risen Lord, a human risen man.
Right.
And for 40 days walked around this earth.
And over 500 people saw him.
Yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to begin in just a few moments with going back over that day that Jesus died on the cross for a couple points we want to make as we start in our teaching today. But we're so glad you've joined us. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're located in Clearwater, Florida. We have services on Sunday morning at 10:30. And also Wednesday night at 7, and we'll tell you more about Bible study in a little while. That's Wednesday nights. And then, of course, this radio show live every week at this time. And we have the technology now that we take the shows, our engineer Cedric does, sends them to us by email, which is amazing. Isn't that crazy? And then we get it to our webmaster, and then the show will be on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, by tomorrow evening. And then it stays on indefinitely. Or until Jesus comes.
Until Jesus comes. That's what we like to say.
So always go back and listen to these shows and learn the word that way. We're going to start with a new song by the group Newsboys, and it is Savior of the World. It's kind of rocking. Listen to these words. It's good. It'll rear you up. Go ahead.
Life for the sake of us, he bore the weight of our sin and shame. With a cry, he said, "It is finished." Sweet.
Savior of the world. That's a great song.
Isn't it?
Wow. Jesus is alive. His death is death. He's defeated death. I mean, you know, from where our topic today is developing confidence, you know, and really boldly declaring and really understanding what God's done for us. It all starts here, Nathan. It starts with Jesus, the risen Lord.
Yes.
If he had not gone to that cross and died for us, if he had just been a human being that was not, you know, part of the Trinity,
right?
I mean, amazing. I mean, our lives would never have changed.
If he had just died,
right,
and stayed dead.
There you go.
Where would our confidence be?
Right, right, right. It's based on this. It's based on what Jesus did.
Yes.
Last Sunday, if you did not catch our show, go to our website and you can go back there and listen to our Resurrection Day show. It was really powerful. And we're going to start with Matthew 27 today and just remind everybody where we were in about verse 45, I guess, in Matthew 27. From noon to 3 o'clock on the day that Jesus went to the cross, the whole earth was dark. A lot of darkness around us, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
But that is so interesting to me that God, you know, made that whole earth dark there for 3 hours, Nathan. I mean, talk about trying to get people's attention.
I'm telling you.
You know, to, hey, we got something going on here.
And at high noon.
Yes, at high noon it was dark. I mean, that didn't happen
around
here. The
brightest time of day.
Right. You know, and then right around 3 o'clock, which we know it was right at 3 o'clock because that is the time that the Jews would sacrifice the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing had been initiated back in Exodus 12 when Moses was taking the children of Israel out of Egypt and going into the promised land. And they did this. They cut the, they killed the Passover lamb and they each had to have a perfect male lamb. And then they put the blood over the doorposts. Mm-hmm. And when we plead the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of our minds, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show, what that means, it's symbolic of what the children of Israel did clear back hundreds of years before Jesus came. But Jesus had to shed his blood, did he not,
and
Nathan?
He had to die at 3 o'clock.
And he did, because he was the Passover lamb.
He was the Passover lamb.
There was no choice. He had to die right at 3 o'clock. So he willingly gave up his spirit.
That's right.
Which is all so cool. But at the vote, and here's the point we want to start with today, because at the very point that Jesus gives up his spirit and allows his body to die, at that very moment, the veil in the temple mm-hmm. was torn from the top to the bottom. Now, we're talking a veil that was 60 feet tall.
60 feet high.
Ah!
When you hear some naysayers, you know, well, maybe somebody tore it from, you know, just ripped it from. No, I don't. I've never seen a 60-foot tall person.
Well, and this was thick curtain,
know. Yes.
And as far as having ladders and things like that, nobody would have thought to do that.
No.
This was God himself from above ripping that veil. Now, the veil was between the holy place and the holy of holies. And we're going to have a song about that in a few minutes. It's just powerful. I've played this song probably 15 times in the last couple of days. Mm. I mean, because we used to sing it in my church in Indiana, and I love this song. It's called The Holy of Holies mm-hmm. by the group Truth. And it's probably a 30-year-old song. But it just absolutely gets me every time I hear it because it talks about the fact that Jesus did this very thing when he allowed his body to be broken on the cross, when he died at 3 o'clock, and then we know they took his body down right after that and put him in a tomb that night. So he was in the tomb 3 nights and 3 days, mm-hmm. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then the days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He came out of the tomb mm-hmm. on Saturday night, a little after 6 o'clock, the risen Lord. But that veil was symbolic to us that no more do we have to go through a high priest and have our sins atoned for.
We could go ourselves.
Wow.
And we could confidently go ourselves.
We confidently. That's the word right there, Nathan.
Yes, that's the key word, confidence.
You know, and it's not about, I mean, we can each now pray for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, we should be praying for ourselves more than we do.
Yes.
You know, we get hung up on praying for others, but we should be really praying for ourselves and reminding ourselves what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Well, reminding what he said about us.
Yes. What did he say about us?
Oh, well, we're his children.
We're his children.
We're
Amen.
His children. And we're healed.
Amen.
We're delivered. We're set free.
Amen.
We're set above.
So we can confidently claim those promises, can't we?
We can claim every promise that Jesus made.
Amen.
Every promise from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
We could take hold of and claim as our own.
Because when that veil was torn, it was God saying to us, now there's no division now between the presence, where the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm. and then in the holy place was kind of the preparation place.
Where we prepare to go see God.
Right. And now that is that distinction, that veil is torn, it's removed, we go straight into
the Holy
presence of God. Is that wonderful?
Think
straight
about
into.
It. Straight into the Holy of Holies.
Amen. There's nothing keeping going straight into his presence.
Right into the presence of God.
And I'll tell you, this is what we want to talk about today, this confidence that develops as we begin to get this knowledge down on the inside of us that we can and do go boldly to that throne of grace. Instead of acting like we are some deprived children who cannot ever get God to answer our prayers.
That's true. Because some of us do act like that.
Some of us do act like that.
And some of us look like that, too.
Yeah. Right. We do.
Because, you know, God, you know, if it be thy will.
Right.
Make me well.
Right. Exactly. Instead of claiming what the word says.
What God says.
Absolutely.
By the stripes of Jesus, we're healed.
And so we are going to talk today about this confidence. And mm-hmm. we're going to also look in Ephesians. Well, we started our series last Wednesday night. This new series, 3 C's for T3. Mm-hmm. Which the first C is confidence, mm-hmm. and the T3 is for territory, taking time. Because we're going to take away territory from the devil where he has kept us feeling that we don't have the right to go straight to Jesus. There are people that believe that.
And it's all
Nathan.
Because he's lying to us.
He's a liar.
He's a liar, and the deceit.
Yes.
People are bound by the deceit. They believe the lie.
They do. And so often, don't you think they feel like they have to have a priest or they have to have someone to minister?
They have to have somebody, a go-between.
Right.
We have to have a go-between because we're not good enough ourselves.
Right.
We're not worthy.
Right. But that's not scriptural.
That's not scriptural. Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
This veil, and at this point that the veil tears from the top to the bottom, 60 feet, dead bodies got up.
Can you imagine?
Is that wild in Jerusalem?
And you know, if God had been alive then and a dead body got up, I probably would have got down.
I mean, think about it. We would
I'd
be
have
like,
passed out.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness, look at this.
But see, the power of God, power and this God. Is what we want to talk about today. Confidence comes from knowing that God is all powerful, that he has never left us
and
forsaken.
And that God is on your side.
Oh, that's huge, Nathan. That is huge. And I think this is where a lot of people run into problems. They feel so insecure and so alone in this life and don't realize that this God who raised dead bodies up, this God who tore the veil 60 feet up in the air from the top to the bottom, mm-hmm. this God that raised Jesus from the tomb, mm-hmm. if that, Romans 8:11, one of my favorite verses, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead
dwells in you,
amen,
then it shall quicken your mortal body.
And quicken there means give life.
Give life. Yes.
Zoe, my little dachshund dog, is named on purpose Zoe.
and she has it too.
She has it, that kind of just exuberant life.
Yes, she does.
And Carol Maxine lost a dog this week that was named Zoe, that was 13 years old. Carol, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Zoe means the God kind of life in us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so often, Carol, we just, I know you probably heard what we were saying. We just, people go around this life acting like Jesus has not
risen from the dead.
They act like there is no way to get our prayers answered. They act like there's no hope for their situation. Talk to me about that.
Well, the only hope we have in any situation is our relationship with great Jesus Christ and Him with us.
Right.
He promises He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
And once we kind of get that down, and sometimes I think people do like an experimental test to see if God really is there. Is He listening? Does He really care about them? And when they come out in a positive direction in that particular circumstance, they go, oh my goodness,
he is there. Yeah.
Yes.
One thing for me is it is freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have to rely on any other person, regardless of their spirituality or religion or lack of, to tell me that I can't speak for myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My Savior knows my voice.
Right. Yes.
He knows my fears. He knows my great trepidation.
Amen.
He knows my joy. He knows everything.
Yes.
And He says, come to me.
Amen.
To me, all you who are weary and heavy laden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that sound like, come to me, but you got to go to your pastor? Come to me, but could you bring a note from the priest? Come to me. Can you get brother so-and-so or something?
Right. Right.
He's going, Carol, come to me.
You come to me.
I'm the one you talk to.
That's right. That's
right. I'm the one that solves the problems. I'm the one that gives you the knowledge so that you can solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carol, you're quoting Matthew 11. I'm going to go there in the Message Bible real quick because I love the way this is written in the Message Bible. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. So listen to this, and then you can comment, Carol, on this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? I know there's some people listening to us right now that are going, yep, that's me. I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I'm burned out
on religion.
Right.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I love that Jesus says that. He says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life.
Mm.
I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
Mm.
I won't say anything. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Mm.
Now, that's confidence. Keep company with Him and we're going to learn how to live without all that worry and stress.
Without the stress and the headaches of life.
Oh, yes. And this is doable. This is what Jesus said. Carol, comment, will you?
Well, it basically says to me is I can't be intimidated as long as I'm in grace of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
have the confidence to step boldly and do what He
yes.
has asked me
mm-hmm.
to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I may not have the confidence in myself. I may, you know, there are people in, who say, gosh, Jesus, I don't know what to say or what to do. And yet, in confidence, when we know He has asked us and He has sent us on one of His missions, we know that He is going to give us everything we need, equip us in every
Amen.
Way.
Yes.
Yes.
To proclaim to the persons or that He's giving us at that moment to tell them the truth.
Right.
That Jesus really is the lifter of your burdens.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Take them on Himself.
Well, He says right here, are you tired or worn out or burned out on religion? Get away with me and you'll recover your life. In other words, and this is one of the first points, if you're taking notes out there today, as you develop confidence, because it's confidence that's going to cause you to get your prayers answered,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as you develop confidence, you realize right away that one of the keys to this, and it's point number one, is you got to learn to spend time alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn because Jesus says right here, get away with me and you'll recover your life.
Get to know Him.
Right.
And getting to know Him, you get life. You get to know your life.
And Nathan, I don't know about you. Carol will come back to you on this point in a minute. But Nathan, growing up in church like you and I did, and Carol too, but growing up in the ministry
mm-hmm.
like you and I did, I saw a lot of busy work.
Oh, me too.
Did you?
Me too.
In the
ministry? A lot of people doing things for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like God couldn't do anything for Himself.
Right.
And people trying to convince me.
Right.
Our preachers trying to convince the congregation.
Right.
Rather than, you know.
But not so much pointing people to a personal relationship
right.
and
right.
a life-changing adventure with God
right.
and that person. Because Jesus says right here, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life.
Right, exactly.
It's not about get on a board at church or a committee or make sure you're teaching Sunday school. This, and nothing wrong with any of those things.
Participate in this bake sale.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things.
No.
But the most important thing
is to get, away with him.
And this is point number one, dear friends, on how you gain confidence mm-hmm. in order to see your prayers answered. Carol, comment on that, because I think this is life-changing. And I'm glad you brought us to Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an interesting thing is that when I think of the word, the phrase, get away with God,
right.
I realize I'm not picking up my iPod. I'm probably going to have my phone shut off.
Mm. Okay, there you go.
And I'm going to seek a place that is comfortable to me.
Amen.
I'm going to either go sit under my favorite tree, go in the woods and just find a place to be alone and quiet. And, of course, with me getting alone and quiet with God with my dogs previously was I thought I had slipped away, and the next thing I know, I've got a wet, slurpy kiss.
Right.
I realized, even though my eyes were closed, that I was found.
Right.
And yet, symbolically, I was found because God took me
Amen.
Out of the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
found me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I found him,
mm-hmm.
and we work in unison.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There's nothing I do personally that I don't ask him, talk to him, seek his approval, seek his disapproval. You know, there's a thing in being, you don't have to be, when you're confident, that doesn't mean that you're cocky.
No.
It means
Good
you
point.
Are confident in the knowledge that, basically, if you fall, he's there. He's
right.
going to pick you up. Dust your britches off, stand you back up straight, and say, okay, now let's reconsider what we've done, and let's see if we can put it together.
You mm-hmm. know, Carol, that is an excellent point, because I think in my own life, the more I spend time with God, the more I depend on him and have quality time, the less prideful I become.
Right.
Because the even though we become more confident, it's not prideful. Talk to me, Nathan,
well,
about that.
Because it's not confidence in myself.
Right.
It's not confidence in what I can do.
Exactly.
You know, or how I can be.
Right.
It's confidence in who he is and what he can do and who he can be in my life.
Amen.
And it's confidence. I mean, it's confidence in God.
And it's confidence in his finished work,
his
on,
finished
Calvary
work on Calvary
and coming
and,
out of that tomb.
All of it. Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
And that, knowing that we go straight into the Holy of Holies. In other words, we bypass any human mediator. That does not mean, folks, that you shouldn't receive ministry from your pastor and things like that. Believe me, we do that at Beacon of Hope. We usually pray for several people at the end of every service. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not coming against that in any way. We're saying to develop this confidence, you've got to learn to spend one-on-one time with Almighty God. Nathan,
and also, I mean, I also, as we were listening to Carol, she was talking about going out into the woods or
right.
sitting under her favorite tree and that kind of thing. Sometimes you can't do that.
Right.
Sometimes what it means is just to get your mind off of things.
Right.
Get your mind off of worrying. Get your mind off of the cares of this world.
Exactly.
And just focus.
Right.
Focus on God.
Amen.
Get your focus, get your attention turned to God.
Absolutely.
And that, and then in that way, you come away with him.
Absolutely.
That way, you come away with Jesus. And you know, and he gets your full, undivided attention.
Because he wants you to talk to him,
to
and
him.
He wants to talk to us.
And he wants to talk to you.
And
That's
he's
right.
talkative, yeah. if you allow him the time. Carol, talk to us about this.
Yes, he is.
He is talkative.
Well, sometimes people, you know, I'm speaking almost in an adversarial position just to show the other side of what Nathan is saying and what I was saying about the woods. Sometimes people typically find it very difficult to shut down all the busyness of
their
life.
Sure, we agree.
Sit silent. I, you know, I challenge anybody that has not done it to turn everything off.
Right.
To not see the screen while you have the speakers down. But turn everything off.
Even the cell phone.
Sit there for 1 minute and don't do anything. Don't think about, well, I need to go get a haircut tomorrow.
Exactly.
Or, gosh, when is Susie's birthday party? Or, you know, when am I supposed to do that meeting?
Or this is coming up or that is coming up.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Shut it down.
Shut it all down.
Hey, but people find it very difficult to be alone with their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your own thoughts, and Satan will pervade your thoughts every single time
he
can.
Yes,
and when you sit alone with God, and it doesn't mean you have to figuratively sit. It means when there are just two of you, you in the natural, he in the supernal.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you begin to think, you see these thoughts are coming at you in your mind's eye like words that are flashing on a screen, and it's peace and comfort and joy and safety and love. And you see those things happening in your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can focus on one of those and let God speak to you, for instance, the word love. If the word love comes into your mind when you're sitting or being quiet with God, and love, and then you begin to realize he's speaking about how much he loves you,
exactly.
How important you are to him, why he cares so much for you. And people are not accustomed in their natural world for people to come up and say, you're really special. I think you're the finest little frog that ever walked in the pond.
I know, but you're right, Carol.
That's
they
right.
aren't used to that. And so I think a lot of times people pull back and don't want to spend that time. Maybe they're still of a mindset, because I see this a lot in ministry. People are still of a mindset. They're afraid that God's just going to beat them up and give them and tell them what they can't do.
Well, isn't that what you hear from so many pulpits?
Well, yes, right.
I grew up hearing that all the time. I grew up hearing that God was mad at me.
Right.
That's right. And, you know, if God is mad at you, if you're not doing what your mom and dad want you to do, God is very angry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Remember, he's your heavenly father. And if daddy's mad at you, so is heavenly father. And we get that stuff ground into us when we're young. I was commenting to Maxine earlier this afternoon that the way that I taught school was I made every kid, or tried to make them feel like they were the only person in my view at that moment. They came in, some of them came like little ragamuffins because they had not, nor did they have parents that cared, or even have a parent for that matter. But they came in, maybe their hair was disheveled or something. I made it a practice early on in my 30-year career to say, you are so handsome. Look
right.
at that smile. And, you can't say Jesus in
school. Yeah.
School. But unfortunately, they didn't have enough duct tape to cover my mouth.
That's not unfortunate.
You know, and that's not surprising either.
I would say to the kids, Jesus loves you. So do I.
Right.
You are important to me, and you are important to this world. You're important to classmates.
Yeah.
You are somebody, and never let anybody tell you that you aren't.
Well, that is a huge point. Ephesians, where we started Wednesday night, Ephesians 1:3 says that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. We already have all that, and there is nothing in the book of Ephesians that says, unless, of course, you happen to be black or Asian or whatever the case may be, and people all the time have, or divorced, or gay, or maybe you've committed adultery or whatever the case may be. We as people are the ones that put those limitations.
Yes.
Nowhere does it say that our Heavenly Father is going to beat us up when we sit down and spend time with him. But we've got that perception down on the inside of us, don't we, Nathan? And
yes, we do.
You said a minute ago, you grew up in it. I did too. Hearing sermons that were hell, fire, and brimstone. God's going to get you. Look out. Here it comes. The big bolts of lightning are coming after you.
If you don't shape up, hell is your home.
Well, and what they meant by shape up was different, but a lot of churches, it meant I grew up with hearing you cannot dance, you cannot play cards, you certainly cannot swear, girls cannot wear pants. This was so long ago. I mean, you know, way back.
Not that long ago. I remember, too.
You remember it, too?
Oh, yeah.
In high school, we had to wear dresses. Carol, didn't you in high school?
Oh, gosh, don't bring back those horrible, horrible memories.
I mean, Carol, really, didn't we? I mean, that dates us, but come on. I'm going
to
be a great grandmother in a few weeks.
So I went to Florida because that meant we could probably wear pants.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And no, seriously, I'll tell you where the first pantsuit ever came from, and that was the workers from across the waters. Hang on a second. Excuse me. That were from the Caribbean.
The first pantsuit?
The women went in to pick the fruit. Well, if they wore their dress, which they had to wear, of course,
they had to bend over.
The time in society, then the men pickers could supposedly come and look up their dress
and
violate
right.
their privacy. So what these women from the Caribbean islands did when they were brought to Florida to pick fruit, oranges and grapefruit and tangerines, they put their husband's or boyfriend's pants on and put their dress over the top of it, signifying, I am a woman. But that gave them back their privacy.
That's right.
Carol, I never knew where the first pantsuit came from. Now I know. From the Caribbean.
Mid-Florida.
Mid-Florida.
Okay.
So many times, my home was across from one grove and at the edge of another. And in the tangerine grove, I would hear these beautiful songs. And they would start way down deep in the grove. And then as they began to sing them, they came up closer. And I would sit in my yard for hours and watch these people pick fruit and sing their songs. And they're singing songs to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an awesome thing to hear.
Mm-hmm. And that's real. That's reality. Mm-hmm. That's what we should.
It helped them get through their workaday world, which was tedious, laborious, tiring work.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, nobody brought the food wagon out and said, okay, everybody come take a break and eat lunch. It was eat your lunch with your sandwich with one hand and throw that tangerine in that bucket with another.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, really what you're saying is these are people that were reaching out to God and singing songs, and that's they were enjoying the presence of God even though they were under
bondage.
Some bondage, yeah.
You know, they had a job, which they couldn't have had in their country because there were few at that time.
Right.
They had a job where they would come and send money back home every week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I worked in a little clothing store for a while when I was in high school. It was owned by a Jewish man. And the laborers would come in there and purchase all kinds of clothing. They would come up to me since I was the younger of the girls. I was a girl at that time, and they would come to me and ask me what girls liked. They had a sister, a mother, a brother, somebody at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they turned that into a gift back home. So they were joyous, and they were joyous because they knew that God loved them.
And see, that's what we're talking about, is that heart of confidence that develops. Because as we all know from our generation, people did come out of some of that legalistic. There's still people that are in bondage today, but the point is, it's not about the rules. It's not about the legalism. Jesus made a huge statement when God the Father tore that veil from the top to the bottom and said, come on, you have free access right now. We're going to play this song. And Carol and Nathan, I know it's going to bless you. And we used to do this at my church in Indiana, Cornerstone, and I love this song. And it's just been on my heart. Holy of Holies by the group Truth.
In the Holy of Holies, behind the heavy veil, sat the Ark of the Covenant, where the Most High dwells. And only the High Priest could enter therein to offer up for atonement of sin. But the veil was rent in in an instant, revealing that holy place. At a hill nearby, on a rugged cross, justice met grace. Now I can go into the holy of holies. I can kneel and make my petitions known. I can go to the holy of holies. And although I'm just a common man, because of God's redemption plan, I can boldly approach the
Love that song, Boldly Approach God's Throne. Is that just a great song?
That could be today's song.
I know it is, and it's 20 just, years, 30 years old,
it's amazing.
It's an amazing song. It takes us to Hebrews 4, starting with verse 12, and then I'll bring Carol and Nathan back in here. In the Message Bible, Hebrews 4, 12 said, God means what he says. What he says goes. Praise God. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense. And Nathan, I think this is a big part of what happens when we come to the throne of God. Even though we know, because we've been taught, we can come boldly just
right
into God's presence. It says right here in the Message Bible, we come so often with doubts, with defense.
Defenses.
We are defensive. Well, God, and he lays us open to listen and obey. With cutting that scalpel, by using that scalpel and saying, wait a minute, you're coming into my presence. You're going to listen here.
That's right.
And, I mean, it's a two-way street. He wants us to talk to him, but he also wants us to listen and obey. And then the rest of that verse, nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, the great high priest, with ready access to God, that's who we have right
yes,
there.
Yes.
This is Hebrews 4:14, if you're just tuning in. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Talk to me, Nathan, about this. Those are powerful scriptures.
There's so much there.
Hebrews 4:12-16.
So much there, because we do. We need God to take that scalpel.
Yes.
And cut out the doubt.
Right.
And cut out the defenseless, defenselessness, you know,
yeah.
all those things. Everything that we come to him with, you know, our arguments or whatever.
Our shame.
Our shame.
Our past.
Our whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the enemy has tried to put on us.
Right.
Whatever our minds argue against, you know, what God has said about us.
Right.
We need God to take that scalpel and cut it away.
Right.
Cut it away. So till we see ourselves as he sees us.
Amen.
You know, the fact that God loves us simply because of who we are.
That's exact. Because we're his children, not because we're perfect,
no,
right?
No. He loves us and just the way we are.
Exactly.
Just the way we are.
He made us. Just the way we are.
He loves us.
Yes.
He loves us. And we need to really see that. And that's a hard seed to swallow. Because we don't love people just the way they are.
Right. We want to change them all the time.
All the time.
You know, oh, well, if so-and-so could just do this, then I'll be happy.
If they could do this or if they could do that.
But, Unconditional love is not easy. Yeah.
Just the way we are.
Amen. Amen.
Just as he finds us, he loves
us.
You know, and then to realize that Jesus is standing there willing and able to give us.
Right.
Everything.
Everything we need. Answers to questions.
Answers to questions.
Relief from pain, from struggles, from past shame, all of it. He's ready to take it away.
Rest. Peace.
Right.
Healing.
Right.
Whatever we really stand in need of. He's been through it.
Right.
This is what the scripture is telling us. He's been through all of it without sin.
Right.
He's been through all of it without sin.
Yeah.
So therefore, if he made the perfect lamb.
Right.
He made the perfect sacrifice. And so now he's able to give to us all things.
Right.
Freely.
All things freely.
Freely.
But we so often don't think we deserve it.
That's it. We put a price tag on everything that God wants to give us. We say, well, if I do this and if I do that. If I do this, then God will do this.
Yeah, or if I give up this and quit that and change that and let and do that. Carol, talk to us about this. Because I think we hinder this very journey straight into the Holy of Holies, which we just heard that powerful song about. We can go boldly to the throne of grace, but we hinder our journey there so often. Don't you think, Carol?
We do, simply because we've been trained from birth that we are despicable. That we have no right to be redeemed.
Right.
We're just no good.
Just no good. Just poor white trash.
Or black trash.
Or black trash.
Nathan wants to chime in there on the black trash. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, all of those phrases that people use against somebody.
Right.
And those are phrases that sometimes I think the phrases come out of somebody's mouth because that's really what they think of themselves.
Exactly.
And they've not been able to accept the fact that maybe they're not moving in Christ's realm.
Right.
And the thought of doing it is scary because you've got to be whitewashed and cleansed and got to have, you know, cute curly hair or long blonde tresses or whatever. You can't come to God looking like who you are. You have to cover up all the scars and all the beaten up spots so that nobody around you sees them. And I think sometimes we need to do exactly what Jesus did and really just kind of hang on the cross and be redeemed.
But so
we've got to have that cross to be redeemed. Whatever the cross is, whatever burden somebody bears, whatever their circumstances, they've got to figuratively hang on the cross, like Dolly Parton said, get off the cross and get somebody else the wood.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do that. Yep. We've got to let ourselves be resurrected, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
resurrected to the person that God really chooses for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can walk gracefully in His kingdom and do exactly what He does, walk this earth. And
but we need a new point of view.
Right.
We need a new point of view. We need to get off the cross of condemnation.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Every single person that condemns
That's
us.
That's right.
Spirituality, religion is a great condemning force.
Oh, it is.
It is such a paradox because God doesn't condemn.
Right, He doesn't. But religion does.
Oh,
religion
doesn't.
Does.
But Jesus said, are you burnt out?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But Jesus said in Matthew 11 that we read a few minutes ago, Carol, Jesus said, are you burnt out on religion?
Mm-hmm.
Because religion is like the Pharisees that walked the earth when Jesus was there.
It's man-made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Religion is man-made.
Right.
Let me tell you, I've been in front of few of those good folk that think they're good folk, and they're going to tell me everything that they think I should do or should not do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, I really can't give a definition of it right this moment. But I can't be intimidated, and I say this to people all the time. Don't try to intimidate me because it doesn't work. I stand boldly and confidently, full of integrity, and full of the confidence that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
My Lord, He's my protector.
Yes.
Amen.
Provider.
He's my righteousness.
You know, the Jehovah Jireh life. And so I've from a very young age, I was really known, even my own family and community, for speaking out in just against injustice any way I saw it, any time, any place, mm-hmm. anywhere. And, you know, I've had people say, well, who are you talking? You're just a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I read my Bible religiously, if you want to use that word, every night. And I lived what I thought
mm-hmm.
was what God was saying in there through Jesus and the different parables and things. And in doing that, I knew that I was somebody to God.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
I was not an accident. My parents just didn't go, oops, golly, didn't mean to do that.
Right.
I mean, I was there. I've been created for a reason. I've
right.
been created for a purpose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's not to be somebody's circus clown mm-hmm. or laughing boy or whipping boy mm-hmm. or anything else. But, you know, Scripture tells me that even as a young girl, that I have to be aware of things around me, the injustice.
Mm-hmm.
I have to move into Jesus' realm closer and closer so that I don't tolerate, so that I don't ignore, so that I begin to disavow all these things that we've been told in our life from youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been beaten up by the Bible.
You're right.
We've been slapped
we
in
have
the
been.
Head with
yes,
it.
We have been. A
you
lot
know,
of people have been.
You have friends, and they want you to go to church with them, and you go. And even as a young girl, going with my friends to church and sitting there, and the next thing I know, the pastor's talking about something that he's going to beat somebody up with it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And trying to use the Bible as a whipping
yeah.
post.
Oh, and to scare it, like we know, we've all been scared straight, let me tell you.
Right, I know it. I agree with you. Nathan wants to comment on that, Carol. That's a good point.
Well, I don't know if I've been scared straight or not.
Right.
But I do know that growing up, I was very, very afraid of
right.
the Bible and very afraid of God.
Right.
You know, very afraid many, many times of God's influence in my life or what
right.
I thought God's influence in my life was supposed to be. And it was a very fearful place for me to be. And I know that there are scriptures that say that we should fear God. But it's,
that means reverence.
But it's reverence him.
Reverence yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And separating those two words
right.
for me was very difficult.
Right.
You know, when I see the word fear, it was
you
being
were
afraid.
Yeah.
Being afraid. And I
have a fear God story for you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. When I was teaching, I went out to where youngsters were ill or incarcerated or hospitals, wherever they were. And some of my youngsters were very, very ill, literally at death's door. And they couldn't come to school. But to keep a degree of normalcy in their life, I went to them every day. And one young lady, a little girl, small little girl, about 8 years old, lived out across from a major prison in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not the happiest camper to be going out there because those folks seem to know how to climb the wire faster than a lizard. So,
yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, my stars, I'm right across the street. So my prayers began when I turned off the hard road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then as I, my first day, I'm driving down that road, and I look up, and there's this huge sign in somebody's private property that says, Fear God. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, let's say I'm on a prison bus, and I'm heading down that road because that was the only way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that looking
Fear
out the
God.
Window. Don't you
yeah.
think at that moment that I would have a come-to-Jesus meeting?
Yeah, you would think.
Wouldn't,
yeah.
you though? Wouldn't you, though?
Yeah.
Because every time I came and every time I left, I saw that, and I would read that sign literally in my head, and I'd visualize it today. Fear God. And I said, you know, there's some, because the kids that rode the bus there were some of mine. And they said, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fear God. And I said, you better get the fear of God in you if you're going to get to heaven.
There
you
go.
Kind of getting around with them. And I said, don't fear God. Love God.
Right.
Reverence
yes.
God. You know, he is to be revered in
Amen.
Every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good point. And we're going to talk more about this in just a minute. And because we're getting ready to do our station ID in just a moment, we are so glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You can go to our website, our newly, totally new,
revamped All right.
website from the get-go, and it is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
You need to go visit www.beaconofhopeministries, it ends in IES.com. And just you'll get acquainted with the ministry, and you'll find out where we're located on Almerton Road, and Sunday morning service at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. And we're going to talk about the prayer ministry here as soon as we do the station ID, but we do have a fabulous, wonderful prayer ministry, and God is moving and using that prayer ministry all the time. Carol, I'm going to ask you to tell about it. It's prayers at bohmglobal.com. We shortened the email address so make it easier for people. Even though you might, if you have the old email address, it'll still work. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. But a lot of people would spell it wrong or not get the IES. So we're now prayers at BOHM Global. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. BOHMglobal.com. Station ID. We'll be right back.
TAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Amen. We're glad to be on this station for another hour, 2 hours every single Sunday. In fact, Nathan, you and I were talking when we put our headphones on today. This is show number 313. That is huge.
That is huge.
313 shows. Next, this Sunday actually completes 6 years of being on the air. And next Sunday starts our seventh year on the air. Nathan, you and Connie and I were right here at this table in April, mid-April of 2007. And here we are 6 years later, having completed 6 years on the air every single Sunday. Our first show started out an hour. And then we immediately, within a few weeks, went to the hour and a half and then eventually the two hours. And it's such a joy, such a blessing
and
to have.
And it flies by.
It does. Like, it does.
We can't get it all said.
We cannot get it all said. We 2 hours and it doesn't seem enough. Carol, you do a lot of the prayer writing for this ministry. You and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor. And if people have a prayer request, what should they do? Can you tell them what to do?
Well, the best thing to do if they want it broadcast through Beacon of Hope Ministries is to sit down and write what they're wanting to be prayed for or about. If it's about a cousin Ralph and his child needs prayers because they're traveling, if it's because someone's ill, whatever that person thinks they need to have prayer for. And if it's a very urgent prayer, like something that's happened immediately and you need ASAP prayers, please note that, because that, you know, that really helps me in getting them out very, very quickly.
Right.
Someone who's had an accident of some type or maybe they're just in a mental condition that they just know that they've got to have immediate prayer. So if you could put ASAP on that prayer, I would certainly appreciate that. But everybody that writes has their prayer answered. And I'm going to tell you, we have had magnificent answers to prayers. We prayed about a young girl in Alabama with the brain tumor, the two of you will recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her her father had contacted someone who contacted me and said that she was a young girl, new mama, and was very upset, and the doctors had given her basically no hope. Mm-hmm. And we went fervently to God in prayer about that two or three times. I made contact last week with the person who had given me the information, and I said, please tell me about the young girl. And the person said, oh my goodness, you would not believe it. Such a changed condition. The doctors were able to dissolve the brain tumor with radiation and chemo.
Praise
and
God.
She is doing fabulously.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. That's great.
You know, when someone writes in a prayer for us, would they also please give, when the answers come, give us
a praise report.
Because our prayer team really gets kicked up in another gear when we get a positive
response
to the prayers that we have said or sent out. And the prayers that I sit down and write don't just come from me. I pray over the situation, mm-hmm. and I ask God, as I take my Bible down, I ask God to reveal to me the scriptures that would help the people writing in or their condition, whatever it might be.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way to bolster our faith, to keep each other. You know, we've got hands around the world, and we need to keep hanging on tight to each other, mm-hmm. because
Amen.
Eventually we're going to be all we have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com, and send your prayer requests and your praise reports. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross, and we're talking about that today, about confident access into the very presence of God and getting our prayers answered. We're talking about that. This next song, Nathan, is actually being done by the group Selah, but we did it this morning at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you sang the verses as solos, and it was amazing. Amazing. And this song never, ever ceases to bless me. Carol, you're going to be blessed right out of your chair up there in Georgia right now. The blood will never lose its power.
You reach us to the high. that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows
Praise God. The blood never loses its power. Isn't that great? I've never heard Sela do that. And it was great. I love it, though, when you do it, Nathan. I tell you what. But the blood doesn't lose its power. And all those things that we are weighed down with, condemnation, things from the past. The word says in Psalm 103, and David wrote these words, that when we ask God to forgive us, he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, which it just impossible
it
even
moves in a straight line.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. Meets. It's gone. It never meets. And so once we ask God to forgive us, it's gone, and he doesn't remember it. And the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross, doesn't lose its power. It still is available to us today. And that's one reason I love that song.
I'm telling you, when you think about the blood obliterates.
Yes.
It obliterates every act of Satan.
Right. Exactly. And Satan hates the blood.
And
Jesus.
Satan hates the blood.
Right.
He can't
because of the
stand
power.
It. Right. He can't stand to be around it.
Right.
You know, praise God. Oh.
It does.
Oh, and it just gives me the shivers.
And it's because of that shed blood on the cross that the veil was torn at 3 o'clock on that day. And the blood has not lost its power at all, because it's the blood that gives us, because of what Jesus did, gives us forgiveness for sin.
And it gives us confidence to go into the throne room.
Yes. There we go.
Because we're forgiven.
We are forgiven.
We are forgiven.
We don't go in as sinners. We go in as sinners, former sinners saved by grace, you know. We go in confidently.
Well, we go in confidently. We don't go in as sinners, period.
Right. We go in confidently.
We go in as children of the living God.
Amen.
You know, completely transformed.
Yes.
Completely changed, completely cleansed, like we have never sinned.
Exactly. And that's what justification means, just as if I never. Justification.
That's right.
That means that. And this whole topic of confidence, we said, first point is you got to learn to go into the presence of God. You got to go in with the right attitude that you're going in as saved and forgiven.
Right.
Before you feel it, perhaps. You when you get saved, and you hear me say this a lot, Nathan, when you got saved and asked Jesus to come into your heart, you didn't see a little plastic Jesus come floating through the sky and come and just lodge itself in your chest like a pacemaker. No, you did it by faith. Believing that what God's word said about you was true.
True, exactly.
And so we believe that what God's word says about the blood that Jesus shed, it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin, no
That's
remission.
Right. That's right.
So the blood had to be shed. And so it is a total mindset change that happens here.
Mm-hmm. And it's your mind that has to be changed.
It is.
You know, you have to come to the realization that blood was shed for you.
Exactly.
If you were the only person.
Right.
The only person in this world. This preacher said this yesterday. Man, I just about jumped out of the bed.
It's true.
If you were the only person in the world.
Right.
That needed salvation, that Jesus would have died for you.
Absolutely. That's how much he loves us.
That's how much he loves us.
For God so loved the world.
Oh, yes.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we can come boldly into the throne because of the blood of Jesus.
You know, just think about that concept of everlasting life.
Yes.
I mean, how do you wrap your mind around that?
Oh, I know.
I mean, there's nothing on this earth that's everlasting.
Right. Everything changes and goes away.
And goes away, exactly. Everything.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even the earth, you know, sinkholes and
right.
Everything
goes away.
There's nothing that has that kind of stability that you can look at it and say that's everlasting.
Right. We hope things are, but they aren't. Often our circumstances change. Carol, talk to us about this. Is this permanence of the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus?
Mm. Well, the permanence is what gives you everlasting life.
That's right.
Your belief in knowing it and your belief in understanding that. And it's very difficult for people to understand that he died for them. I mean, you look around, you see nations of people.
Mm-hmm.
And a nation is made up of many, 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 many individual persons.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that he died for each of them,
right.
regardless of what their nationality is a remarkable thing that people have a hard time gripping.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that God always does with us once we have received the anointing of the blood of Christ is that he holds us in his grip. We can't slip away.
Right.
That's right.
He never lets go.
He doesn't let go. Yes. I know. He's still right there. Yeah.
He really is. I envision him always when I was younger and I would have questions about life because, you know, you're just trying to learn about life when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. And I would always think that if I start to not do well, whatever my circumstances, situations, I can envision his hand reaching down and taking mine because I would lift
Amen.
Mine and think, help me, Father. And I could envision him holding me with his strong right hand.
Praise
and I
God.
Would fall asleep, and I was the one that let go.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He didn't let me go. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what we have to remember today. We slip away sometimes. But he is always there. That hand is always reaching down to give us comfort, peace, grace, love, forgiveness. And we know that we're covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important thing for us to understand. You know, what do humans do when there's a tragedy? Americans are very strong in doing this. Mm-hmm. A call goes out. We need X number of pints of life-giving blood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And people rushed, whether it be to save a newborn infant or a person in their hundreds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We rushed to do it because it's what we can do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we cover a multitude of sins with his blood.
Yes.
Well, Carol, what you're talking about, and we just started the series on Wednesday night on these three C's in the book of Ephesians, it reminded me of Ephesians 1:10, which... Actually, I think it starts with verse 7. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, which is what we've been talking about, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. This is Ephesians 1:7. We're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either. We sang that this morning, Nathan, about I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
And abundantly free. You even wrote a song 10 years ago that we did this morning at church, Darkness Has No Power Over Me. You know?
That's right.
I've been set free. Darkness mm-hmm. has no power over me.
That's right.
And in the Message Bible here in Ephesians 1, 7-8, it says, we are abundantly free.
Abundantly free.
He thought of everything and provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for.
Mm.
That verse is Ephesians 1:11 in the Message Bible. Mm-hmm. I love it. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Why are you here? And who are you anyway?
That's right.
Brother Nathan, who are you anyway?
I am nobody without Christ, that's for sure.
I was a young girl, very, very young girl, I remember quiet times with God when my parents would go to work or be gone or whatever the circumstances, that I was in the house by myself or outside sitting under an orange tree with my dog. I would ask God, who am I?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What am I supposed to be doing?
Right.
How am I supposed to be doing it? Mm-hmm. And who will I become?
Mm-hmm.
Will I become an important force in the world where I live and getting people to understand that there is no life without you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. I mean, I remember that. I remember speaking to my mother one day and saying, Who are we that we walk this earth? What is our purpose?
Right. What is our purpose?
You know? And I began to realize as I grew in years that my purpose is to be the best me I can be in Christ.
But, Carol, it also means, yes, you're right about that, but it also means, like this prayer ministry, being a channel to go boldly into the throne of grace and say, God, here's so-and-so and their issues and their problems. And I know maybe they don't understand that they can confidently and boldly go
to you
and get that healing or get that answer to prayer. So I'm going for them. Nathan, comment on that, and we'll get back to Carol here.
That's so true, because there are many Christians.
Right.
There are many Christians who don't go boldly into the throne room because they don't know they can.
Right.
They
don't understand that they're abundantly
free, right? They don't feel worthy.
Right.
They don't feel worthy.
They're beat down.
And no matter what you say to them how you present the scripture to them, they just can't get it.
Right.
They just can't get it, because they've had years and years and years of being beat down,
right?
Beat up, you know.
And God's word says here, we are abundantly free, and it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for.
That's amazing.
What if one of the main things you're living for is to be an intercessor?
That's right.
In prayer for other people. Maybe one of your main reasons, my main reasons for living, is to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ did die on that cross, and that we can go boldly into the throne room.
Or maybe your main reason for living is to be an intercessor.
Right.
To be that intercessor. To be that go-between.
Amen.
Because some people can't go.
I've always felt that part of what I'm supposed to do, and I found that even as a young child, would be to a person who encourages.
Yes.
Exactly, yes.
That is one thing that I cannot get away from. If I don't care, I can be sitting in a doctor's office and watching somebody just fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared before they go back there. They've preconceived everything in their mind to be horrible, terrible. They're going to die in the next 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I sit there, and I can't sit there and do nothing. I simply can't. I have to say to them, How are you today? How are you inside today? Are you confident? Whatever it is I say to people. And I remember Pastor Marcia, during the times that I was in the counseling with her, and I would go off on these what she thought were rabbit trails, and everybody else probably did too. But it was God speaking to me to get a point across.
Make a point,
in vernacular that people understand.
Right.
You know, so many people, Nathan, like you said, sit in the pews and in church, and they're good Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
They do what they can to do the best they can for the church, for the pastor, for the congregation, for God. But the idea of them walking up front and bending down in front and saying, Lord, use me today.
Yes, yes.
They would have to wait for somebody to say, come, let us use you today. We need a new usher. We need a so-and-so.
Yes.
Then they feel like they can go do it.
Right, exactly.
But they have to have invitation. And you see, God gives us that invitation.
Yes, he does.
Amen, he does. Yes,
he does.
To me.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Come to me.
Yes, he does.
Whatever your circumstances, whatever your joys, come to me. I give you permission as your God to speak to me individually, whether it's in the privacy of your home, driving down the middle of the road in a stormy, dark night when tornadoes are all around you. Speak to me. Tell me what you need from me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we have to be able to somehow get that message across to people.
Well, I think a big part of it, Carol, is prayer. What we're doing here in this prayer ministry, but also as we run into people, as we see people out in our daily lives, to spend time praying. Let's go to this song, and then we'll talk more about this in a minute. On My Knees. Again, one of my favorite songs, an old song by Bob Carlyle, but I love it. On My Knees.
Stand with all my might and still I seem to fall. I try to walk before I even crawl. Oh, it seems I'm like a child in need again. A helpless heart. So very hard to find, but still I know that true faith must be blind. So I sacrifice my heart to God in prayer, lay my weakness down, and I'll find you there. I can stand tall.
And that sounds like it doesn't make sense. I can stand, but you stand on the inside. You stand against problems.
Yes.
You stand for what is right.
Yes.
You stand for the fact that Jesus already shed his blood on the cross. Nathan, talk to me about that song. You were just getting blessed all over the place. Have you ever heard it?
No, I've
never
heard that song.
One of my favorites.
It's amazing.
It's an older song.
And it makes me think about the fact that
tears running down you.
That my posture, often when I'm praying, I don't pray on my knees.
Right.
You know, and
you don't have to be. It's the attitude of your heart.
Yeah,
is your heart on your knees?
But I think about the act of humility of getting on my knees.
You know, you're exactly right.
I'm getting on my knees. I mean, because when I was growing up, my father would have all of us children line up by their bed, by my mom and dad's
me
bed.
Me too.
On our knees.
Me too. How many?
Knees.
You had quite a few kids.
There's 11 of us kids.
11. And that's amazing. That must have been quite. But my dad did the same thing. I can remember many times that we were all lined up, and there were only three of us, my mom and dad, and the three of us lined up in front of the sofa in the living room, mm-hmm. and we were having prayer time, and we were on our knees.
We were on our knees.
And, you know, I didn't like it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember complaining. you know, why do I have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember that. But it is that act of humility. It is that act of submission.
Submission, yes.
And whether or not we physically can get on our knees, some people are there have physical issues to the point they can't. But if your heart is on your knees,
yes. I know. Yes, because there's been times when I couldn't get on my knees.
Right. Physically. But it says you're on your knees and you can see forever.
See forever.
Isn't that interesting?
It's true.
You can see what true. God, all of a sudden, God begins to reveal the future.
He reveals the future.
He reveals what's going on. He reveals how to handle a problem.
The word becomes clearer.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Carol, you want to weigh in on this? Isn't this cool? Wasn't that a great song, Carol?
It's a great song. I've heard it previously, but it's a good song.
And I
think it just reminds us that, you know, we're taught through our lives to, at least I was, to when you enter into someone's house, you are reverent, you're polite, you're nice.
Yeah. Our generation was taught that, yes, Carol.
Yeah, in their home. And when you met someone who had a position, it was yes, sir. Most of the times it was sir. There was no ma'am at that point, really. And, you know, you were respectful of the position of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on your knees is being respectful
of
positions of God, Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen.
Spirit, to acknowledge that they have a place in your life that is the highest place anybody should ever have in your life. So it makes us always reminded that we're not the biggest thing in our world. Never going to be.
Mm-mm.
The biggest thing in our own personal world.
Right.
Sometimes we have to lose who we are in order to serve other people.
Mm. Right.
We have to literally bend our knees and get down to where they are.
Mm.
And Carol, you are exactly right. The greatest thing we can do for them is pray for them.
That's exactly it. You know, it's extremely important. See, I didn't grow up like you guys did, having my parents beside me on the knees or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 70 years old in a couple of months. Not one time, and this almost brings me to tears, not one time in my life, in this however many years it was that I lived with my parents, did they ever take me to church.
Mm. Yeah.
Never took me to church.
A lot of people can relate with you right now.
Yeah, the people that I feel are my alternate family, we were in church every Sunday. And so I naturally migrated to wanting to be with them because it was Methodist, and I loved the pomp and the circumstances and the songs. Oh, how I loved the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stand on the back of my, you know, up in the seat and lean back and sing. Everybody else in the congregation finished a hair ahead of me. I don't understand how they did that. But I was my little solo at the end of every song. And I remember the reverence from the time I was able to really start putting thoughts together,
mm-hmm.
reverence that I feel for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know that I'm not in this world because somebody took the time to have a construction crew, flowers and trees and plants around, or animals, you know, nobody handpicked animals out of a book and said, oh, put this one here. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that I stand in the presence of the Lord every minute of every day, and I'm reminded of it every minute of every day, and I'm grateful for it every minute of every day.
Mm.
And the prayer ministry to me is really, selfishly, and I know it isn't, but selfishly, it's my ministry.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And,
well,
you know,
you end up sending all
and everything,
right.
But it's what I do. It's right
it's what
now
you
where
do.
I serve.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But what a joy to be able to do that, Carol. To be that person.
And not only do
on
I
your
do
knees.
It with the church, but you know, you've heard stories. Both of you have heard stories that I told when I was in full blown breast cancer and with radiation and chemotherapy, and not a hair on my head. You know, and should have been in my natural. I might have been a little gee whiz. I, you know, apologize because I don't have any hair. What is the reasoning for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when we went to Emory, it was my ministry. I remember being diagnosed. I had about a 15-minute pity party sitting in front of Barnes & Noble. And then I told Maxine, I said, let's buck it up and go. I'm ready to get this show on the road.
All right.
And I walked down to the end of my mailbox.
It's all true.
Just a dozen times. And on the way down, I said, God, I'm not going to ask you why me. I'm going to say, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
I can deal with this. I have one request. Let me be a shining light to people who are troubled, scared to death, and don't know what to do, and don't know you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I,
that's right.
I mean,
that's
I
it right
loved
there.
Every single minute that I was in in cancer treatment because it gave us the opportunity to witness to people
it
day
did.
After day. Mm-hmm. I was over there sometimes 5 days in a row, sometimes 6 days in a row. And it gave us the opportunity to recognize the need of humanity sitting in front of us.
Exactly.
And to go back and say each week, each day, we brought things in for them. And they would literally run to us and greet us at the door.
Mm. But, Carol, that became what you're talking about right there is one-on-one ministry that resulted from what appeared to be a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
God, in his mercy, and that's why we run boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. And right there, God opened your heart to the needs of all those around you that were suffering.
Yep.
And you were able to be a lighthouse. You were able to be a voice in that dark moment in people's lives. Nathan, this is what ministry is all about.
Yes, it is.
Don't you think it
oh, yeah.
is seizing the moment each day when God puts somebody in front of us? Or let's say you're at home and you never leave your house that day, but God lays somebody on your heart.
Yes, right.
What happened when we went to? I had to go to Emory this past week, last Monday, and so you know the book the story about Floyd Henry and I are in the little Guidepost magazine,
right.
Angels on Earth. So I picked up two copies. My diabetologist had wanted a copy when I got the book. So I took one in, and Maxine said, "Why are you taking the other one?" I said, "I have a special person I want to give it to." So as we left my doctor's office, I went to the cancer lab, and I asked the man that runs the cancer lab. He's a really nice guy, and I knew him pretty well. And I asked him if Natalie were there. And Natalie was the nurse that spent the most time with me. And he said, "She's on duty today. Go back and visit." So I walked back, and she was sitting down at the nurse's station. And I didn't say anything until I got right in front of her. And I said, "Natalie." And she looked up, and she said, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I've been wondering about you this week and praying for you."
Praise God. Praise God.
She said, "We took a break, and I went back and, you know, the chair you always had, and it was very corner in the back, one of the stations.
For your chemo?"
And she said, "I sat in that chair with my break with my other nurses and said, 'I wonder how Miss Witcher is.' I said, 'This is how Miss Witcher is.'" And I handed her the book.
Amen.
And we just held each other's arms. You were paramount in my recovery.
Praise God.
You know that.
That's
right,
so cool.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's a person you would never have met on this earth
never.
Had you not had breast cancer.
No. And she is such a delightful person.
Exactly.
A tremendous nurse. A most caring, loving, giving heart that you could ever find.
Mm.
And
I
was just so pleased to be able to hand her something because I had told the story. And she would sit with me while I was, you know, you don't just get an infusion and get up and walk out. You're there 4 to 5 hours.
Right.
And she would come by and sit with me and talk to me and say, "Tell me some of your stories."
That's dangerous.
Do you have 12 hours?
Right. You have a couple hours there?
Really?
12 hours is about just getting started.
Just getting warmed up.
I have so many stories of where Christ has led me.
Exactly.
And done things for
yes.
me. You know, I would have never been able to go through some of the things in life. And I have not had a tragic life. But I have had a life full of wonder mm-hmm. and doubt about other things and other people and what's happening. And how can I be a part of change?
Mm-hmm. Carol, the answer to that, in my opinion, and that's what this show is talking about, confidence. Confidence in the finished work of Jesus.
Amen.
Confidence in our prayer life.
Amen.
That we can go boldly into that throne and pray and intercede.
Amen.
I mean, Nathan, when you look back on your life and you look back on all the things that have happened, there have been good things, there have been bad things, there have been hurtful things, there have been painful things, there have been situations that have happened that, and yet sometimes, and so many times, I guess I want to say, God brings healing to those hurting places,
to the
painful times, doesn't he?
All the time he does. No, all the time
put a Band-Aid on it.
All the time
he does. You know, when you have a wound, a spiritual, if you've got a wound on your body, a cut, a scratch is pretty deep or something, and if you put a Band-Aid on it, it will probably not do well because it'll fester if you don't put something on it, and it'll fester, and then you have a problem, and it really becomes a paramount problem. And it's the same thing with your soul. When you have a deep wound in your soul or in your spiritual life, nothing can cleanse it, can heal it, but the loving grace of Jesus Christ and his balm of calmness and peacefulness. When he begins to get into that deep wound and begins to push the bad out of you,
right,
you begin to granulate that healing from the very core of your existence and out. And by the time it gets out, you are the healed person.
Yes,
amen.
You are.
Amen. Yes, and that's exactly what happens, Carol. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. And Nathan, there's so many times that in ministry that we walk in every day that people stay in their wounds, stay in their pain, and don't want to let God do the healing that is needed. And some of you out there in radio land today may be some of those that sit in it forever with resentment, with unforgiveness, with harboring bitterness.
Forgiveness is letting go. Letting go. And so many people don't want to let
go.
They don't want to let go of that hurt.
Because they want somebody to make it right, lot of times it's never going to be made right.
That's right, a lot of times.
Forgiveness.
Well, interestingly enough, that was what was being said in church today about forgiving.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we have to, and it was spoken in such a way that you don't feel like you get beat up with forgiving. You know, it's not somebody with it grabbing onto your neck, tying, going, you got to forgive. I'll hit you one more
time
if you don't forgive.
No,
it isn't that. It is coming to the realization that if you could have changed the situation at the moment it happened, you would have done it.
Yes.
Right.
But you either didn't have the wisdom or the inclination or whatever it took to change that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you've asked for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And now it's time. It is time to move on.
That's exactly right.
To lose the dead spirits.
Exactly.
To take those wounds, pull those bandages off, because you've granulated from the inner part of your soul out to the skin that people see.
Mm-hmm. And, it's time to let it go.
Those nasty bandages off and give your body, your spirit, your soul, your mind a chance to heal.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, in Al-Anon, they say, let go and let God, and that is so true. Mm-hmm. Let go of that resentment, of the bitterness. Whoever you are out there in radio land, you need to let it go. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done. And I think a lot of people think if you forgive, you got to say, that's okay.
It's
you
okay.
raped me or you abused me or you.
But you don't agree with it.
Or you robbed from me. No, forgiveness does not mean
that you agree
with what was done. But it does mean that you choose to let it go, that they don't owe you anymore.
Right.
And Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, Forgive
me as I forgive others.
Uh-huh. There you go. And that's how God forgives us, as we release forgiveness. Let's do this song, and then we'll get back and talk about this more. It's a new song is the name of the group. You Are My King. Good song.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died. Joy to honor you, and all I do.
Sing it, Nathan.
You, my king, would die for me.
Go ahead.
Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. Let me honor you.
Woo! Yes! Amazing love. And the words just fit into what we were talking about right there about forgiveness. And it just starts out talking about forgiveness. I'm just like, amazing. It always goes this way with the music. And we don't know how our discussion's going to go. It's not planned. There's no script, nothing like that. And we just rely on the Holy Spirit.
Holy
and
Spirit.
These are the songs that Connie put together. And
Holy Spirit.
Part of them were a couple of them that I chose. But still, we never know what God is going to do. And people... whatever's going on in your life right now, God has an answer for you. You may be in a huge mess right this moment. You may be in a financial crisis. You may be in a personal relationship crisis. You may be just full of resentment and bitterness and anger or jealousy or envy. You may be so tied up in knots that you don't know which way is up or down. But God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who sent his son to this earth to die on a cross for you and came out of that tomb, a risen Lord, cares about the details of your life.
Everyone.
He has a solution for you.
Mm-hmm.
He has something to do for you that is going to change you.
Mm-hmm.
We are teaching on confidence right now. Confidently reach out right now and believe that this God that loves you so much can solve your problems.
He has the answer.
He does. He has the answers, Nathan. He does have the answers. We're going to pray for you right now. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I feel that there are some people out there that have... what I'm thinking about is pus pockets of just unforgiveness and resentment down on the inside. And you need to let it go and ask God to heal you right now from all that. Go ahead.
I'm sensing conflicts.
Conflicts, okay.
There are people that are facing conflicts in their lives. Conflicts with other people.
All right.
Conflicts with family members.
Exactly.
Conflicts with friends.
Right.
You know, these things, God can resolve
them. He can resolve them.
He can resolve them.
So often we think they're unresolvable, but he can not?
But he's the resolver.
You come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. So therefore, we agree together, Carol and Nathan and I, right now, for our listening audience, whether you listen to it live right now or whether you're listening to this show a year from now, it does not matter, because God will meet your need, whether it's live or whether it's on down the road. So Lord, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we lift up our radio audience, and you know who they are and what they're going through. We don't know. We don't know their faces. We may never meet them on this earth. But God, you know, and you're the comforter. You're the God of peace. You're the God of joy. You're the God that reaches down into those areas of pain in our lives, those pus pockets, if you will, those places of resentment and unforgiveness, those places of bitterness, those places of physical pain. Perhaps there are some that are listening that have been diagnosed with cancer recently or had a very bad diagnosis. And God, we know you're the healer of our bodies and our emotions. You change our hearts. And Lord, for those of our audience that are having conflicts, as Nathan said, are having personal conflicts with others, Lord, we ask that you reach down, God of peace, and smooth that thing out and minister your peace and your comfort and your joy into that situation.
Yes, Lord.
God, we believe right now for those that are ill in their physical body that you reach down and touch them,
Lord.
Heal their bodies right now. The areas of pain in those legs for that person, whoever she is. Lord, we speak that the pain in those legs leaves now. In the name of Jesus. The back pain in that one. Get going, back pain, in Jesus' name. The one that is suffering from intense pain in your head, migraine headaches, we bind those, and in the name of Jesus, we speak healing to you. Yes, we command him to go, and we speak healing to you in the name of Jesus. For those of you that are suffering with depression out there in Radio Land, be encouraged, because God is your comforter, and he's going to lift you out of that pit of destruction.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen. Isaiah 51:14, I speak it over every one of you, and it says this: the one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. I speak Isaiah 51:14 over this radio audience today. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. Claim that, Isaiah 51:14. Those of you who need that verse, claim the healing of God, that he is your healer. He forgives all your disease. He forgives all your sins. It's Psalm 103, verse 3. He forgives all your sins.
And heals all.
Amen.
All
your diseases.
All,
your diseases. So we speak life, the Zoe kind of life.
Yes.
The God kind of life into you right now in Jesus' name. We speak abundance of wisdom, peace, and joy into your life and into your situation. And we ask that you, God, teach these people how to release those that have wronged them. Teach them how to forgive. And we thank you for that right now, that you're doing that.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus'
name. Thank you, Jesus.
There's some real ministry going on to some people right there, right?
Real victory, Yes, there is.
Praise God.
Some people are being set free.
Amen.
That have really never known freedom.
Exactly.
They're being set free. Some people are being set free to forgive.
Amen. Absolutely.
They didn't know that forgiveness, that they didn't have to agree with the person with what they did.
They didn't understand
or the offense.
Right.
But they realize now that they don't have to agree with the offense.
Right.
But they can still forgive.
They can still
the
forgive.
Individual.
Praise God. Carol, give us some final words. We're going to go back. Cedric, we're going back to track three, Holy of Holies, in just a minute. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, I just find it interesting today in service, the pastor said it was basically on forgiveness and confidence in your ability to work and speak with God. And he said, I would like for you to turn right now and say to the person next to you, I forgive you. And there was appeared to be a mother and a teenage son sitting in front of us. And he turned and said, they turned to each other and said it at the same time. It was kind of strange the way they said it to each other at the same time. And then they both burst out crying and holding each other.
Wow. Praise God.
Well, obviously, something was separating them from that very moment.
Right.
And, you know, we can't be separated from the grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't be separated from His love, His forgiveness, and His always taking care of us. So walk toward Him when times are tough and life is just throwing you all kinds of baseballs, hard and heavy. Walk toward Him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He will reach out and He will hold you closer than you could ever imagine.
Amen. Oh, amen. Holy of Holies by Truth.
In the Holy of Holies, behind the heavy veil, sat the Ark of the Covenant, where the Most High dwelt. And only the High Priest could enter therein to offer up for atonement sin. But the veil was rent in an instant, revealing that holy place. At a hill nearby, on a rugged cross, justice met grace.
We got to do that at Cornerstone. That's when we used to do it at Cornerstone, my church in Indiana. We got to do it at Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
We've got to do this song, Holy of Holies. Nathan, give us some final words here. God has done some mighty things in the show today.
I'm telling you, the word of God is true.
It is.
And today, I was refilled with more confidence.
Yes, praise
God. That I can
God.
Go into the throne of
Amen.
To the throne room, into the Holy of Holies.
That's the goal.
That can approach God. And make my petitions known and not be ashamed or embarrassed.
Right.
Or feel any inadequacy at all.
Just go boldly.
Just boldly go there.
And boldly go.
Receive from Him.
Right.
Praise God.
Woo! Amen, amen. It's always so good to be reminded of that truth.
Oh, yes, it is.
And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us Wednesday night. We are in the book of Ephesians. Read Ephesians with us this month. And that while I was reading some of that in Ephesians 1, that's where we are right now. In Ephesians 1, we're seated with him in heavenly places. Come find out what that means. And this confidence of going boldly to the throne.
Amen.
So it's been a good show as always. We thank God for Carol,
Jesus.
For Nathan.
Yes.
I mean, without a script, without knowing where we're going, God always leads us.
And right there.
It's just so wonderful. So we finish our first six years. Today.
Our first 6 years.
Yes, on the radio.
Got six more to go.
Maybe. You never know. We start year number seven next Sunday on this live show. If you're
Hallelujah.
In the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to a service Sunday morning at 10:30 in our location on Almerton Road. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find out all about that. Wednesday night Bible studies at 7. People can come and bring their meal or whatever from work. People do all the time. We set up tables on Wednesday night. Bring your Bible, notebook, and it's interactive. We really talk back and forth.
It's always fun.
It's fun. It's a good night.
Fun.
It is.
And you learn something.
And you learn, and you make new friends.
Yes.
And so we welcome you 7 o'clock this Wednesday night to Beacon of Hope for Bible study. Prayer meeting is always at 6:15. And our radio show is always every Sunday at 3 o'clock. If you have a prayer need, go. We talked about it earlier. Use our prayer line on the email. And it is prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can reach me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So that's our information, and we want to see you. And we'd love to have you come and join us for a service. And our last song, my new song, is one we use every week, but it is just a fantastic song. Carol, thank you so much for being on the air. Nathan, thank you so much. They're a part of our radio team, dedicated part, and they dedicate time for this ministry. Praise God. Thank you. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nathan, and Carol. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week. We want to hear from you. Go to our website and get acquainted. All right? God bless you. See you next week, 3 o'clock.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.